Take your Bibles, find John chapter 12. John chapter 12. It has been a joy to be here this week. We've sure enjoyed it. I was sitting thinking, you know, Brother Rod Black and I went to school together back when Noah was on the boat, amen. That's what my kids say all the time, amen. They say, yeah, hey Dad, what did Noah teach you? And I said, taught me how to whip kids, amen. But several years ago, Brother Black kept saying, you need to meet my preacher. You just need to meet my preacher. He kept telling me that. And I tell you, I wish we had done it a lot earlier, brother.
Yeah, me too. Really.
First time I met your preacher, we met up the 3rd Street Spur and went over to the Eaton Park to eat. And when we were done, we got in the car to come home. Come on down here. My wife said, this is going to be fun. And just like we'd known each other for 20 years.
That's amazing.
In church, can I say something to you? Thank you. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for being real. So many churches, and you may think I'm crazy. And I told Brother Myers that today, and him and his wife. I said, so many churches we go into, folks act like it's an endurance, not a joy to come to church. And I've been in churches where the preacher was almost wouldn't let you talk to the people. You know, and folks look at you like you had the plague, and some of them probably thought I did after I got done preaching. But a lot of places we go, I leave tired and wore out. But every time we come here, I leave refreshed and renewed. Ready to get it, man. You know, and I tell you how the Lord has been so gracious this year. He's put 2 weeks back to back, 1,000 miles apart, of two men that I don't know of any better friends than I have, Pastor Skyver, Pastor Irving Clark in Tallahassee, Florida. And the churches are similar. I mean, folks are open and real and genuine. And I tell you what, I'm excited, man. I tell you what, that gets me ready for the grind. Then I got to go to New York, amen? You know, the best thing ever come out of New York was I-90 going east, amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. I've now watched somebody come up and show me their New York sticker, amen? I tell you what. And praise the Lord. It's exciting. I appreciate you again. Let me just say thank you, how much we appreciate it, amen? Now, I got to get one thing started here. Tonight, I want to give you an illustration tonight, and as we get ready to preach. Mrs. Myers asked me if I needed a match, and I said, yeah. I said, I hesitate to ask for a light in a Baptist church to see how many you'll get, amen? Smile at me, amen. We were in mountains of North Carolina in a meeting when we were on deputation, and we pulled up to the church, and there was probably 8 or 10 of the men outside smoking. And I thought Alan, our son, was going to get me killed, because we're walking up the walk to the church, and he goes, he's about 9 years old. He goes, hey, Dad, God's leading this crowd. I said, really? He said, yeah, look at the cloud out in front of it. Whoa, man. I thought. Then we had to walk right by them guys, amen, and go in the church. I said, thanks a lot, son. We tried to get some support. Of course, we didn't get any, amen. But I want you to look at this, and we'll come down here and come back to this. But there's something here the Lord gave me, and I want to leave you. Sunday, the church is going to take up your faith promise. And we haven't said a lot about it, about faith promise this week. But when we come to the end, you'll understand what that's for and what we're trying to get at. But look here in John chapter 12 and in verse number 46. John chapter 12, verse number 46. I want to talk about the light a little bit tonight and tie together something the Lord, I believe, will use. John chapter 12 and in verse number 46, the Bible says, well, back up and read verse number 45. And he said, he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. And I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Well, you could go a long way right there in that verse, amen? I don't understand people that claim to be saved and have come to the light that are still abiding in darkness. We used to have a lady come to our church, and if I'd go by to visit her coming back from the hospital or something, I'd walk in the house, and my wife would go, "Been to see Fern, haven't you?" I said, "What?" She knew it. I mean, because she could smell it. You know, I don't understand how you talk about being saved 30, 40 years and say that you've met the light. He said, "I am coming into the world." He said, "I am come a light into the world." Amen. "That whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness." Jesus is the light of the world. Listen to this verse. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." We have a light. That light is not us. Amen? That light is Jesus Christ. Acts 26, verse 23. "That Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." Hey, listen, I'm glad the light of the world is Jesus Christ. Amen? And we have a light to take to the world, and the light that needs to be taken to the world is not Robbie Morrison. It is Jesus Christ. Amen. The light that needs to be taken to the world is not Richard Schuyler. It is Jesus Christ. He's the light, amen. And he came into this world to be the light of the world. The light of the world is Jesus. And we ought to come and beg people, "Come to the light. 'Tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has shined upon thee." Aren't you glad today for the night that the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shone through the darkness of your soul, and the light illuminated your heart, and you came to Jesus Christ and you got saved. Amen. There is a light. God has provided that light. Now, I want you to go a little farther. Go to Romans chapter 12. Now, I do want you to look at some of these verses. Romans chapter 2. This is all introduction. There's only really one point to the message. But there's 15 introductory points. Amen? Romans chapter 2. Notice what he says. There is a provider of light, and that light is Jesus Christ. But notice what he says in Romans chapter 2. And in verse number 19, he said, "And art confident that thou thyself are a guide to the blind and a light to them which are in darkness." Who is that? That's us. We're to be a guide to the blind, a light to them that shine in darkness. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Let me show you what I'm talking about. You know these verses, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I love these verses. Now, and this kind of gets me to where I want to be a little bit tonight. Matthew chapter 5, and he said in verse number 14, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14, he said, "Ye are the light of the world." Now, when he said that, I understand what he was saying. Ye are the light of the world, but it's not you they need to see. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. And all I am is a vessel. Amen. See, this lamp right here is not the light. Huh? It is the vessel that carries the light. That projects the light. You're not the light. But your life, and we're going to read it here in Matthew chapter 5. He says there, he said in verse number, is it 14 right there? He said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your life, your testimony, your good works, and glorify you, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." And so God has provided this light, and God then chooses us to be the vessel to carry this light, to be the projector of this light. God has to have a vessel to project this light and carry this light into the world. And again, the light is not you. It's God that came in your life. The Lord Jesus Christ came in your life. The light of the world came in your life. And now He's lit your life with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And you're just simply a vessel to carry that light everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, people ought to look at you and see the light of Jesus Christ, not your light. Amen? You know, I tell you what, I was listening to the singing tonight, and you know, Monday night when these two girls got up and sang and God showed up, it wasn't them. Amen? It was Jesus Christ. Now, I've been in services where people get up, stand at the platform, and hold the microphone just right. Amen, Brother Rod. They sing every note just right. Everything's held out to perfection. Everything's just the way it ought to be. And I'm sitting there going, I wish you'd quit so I can get up to preach. Amen. Because you know what? It was all about them. But I'm telling you, I've been in services where some dear old saint of God gets up, can't barely get to the platform, forgets half the words, halfway through gets to weeping and crying, and people are running to the altar, and men are shouting and praising God. Why? It's the light. It's the difference in that light. They've projected the light of Jesus Christ. When your neighbors look at you, what do they see? They see the light of Jesus Christ, or the vessel that's carrying the light. See, there's a reason. Now watch this, because it gets to be more fun. Amen. Listen to what 1 Peter says. He says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him that have called you out of darkness into what? His marvelous light." Hey, listen. People ought to look at you and say, you're just the weirdest bunch I've ever been around in my life. Amen? I like it when they say that to me, amen. That's just a compliment to me, amen. I was preaching one night, got done preaching. This lady come back. You could tell she was mad, man. You know what? She come back here, boom, 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 boom. And I thought, buddy, I'm going to get it, amen. And she put her finger in my nose. She said, let me tell you what's wrong with you. I thought, I'm about ready here, amen. And she said, you just think you're going to win the whole world to Jesus Christ by yourself. I looked at her. Brother John said, thank you. Nobody ever gave me a better compliment in my life. Made her madder, amen. Amen. It's not me. It's Jesus Christ. I'm just a vessel to carry the light. Yeah. Now watch this. There's a reason God has provided the light. He has chosen us to project that light. You're there in the book of Matthew. Go to the book of Luke, chapter number 1. There's a reason why God is trying to do this. And that'll about get me to where I want to be for the message tonight. Now watch this. I like this, amen. Luke, chapter number 1. And in verse number, let's look back up and read verse number 76. They're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. And he says in verse 76, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou art to go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel." Why did that light come? There's a purpose: to give light to them that sat in darkness. Hey, folks, listen. The Bible says the God of this world hath blinded their eyes. They sat in darkness. That's why they can go to church week after week and say those prayers and repeat those words and count those beads and never get anything. Because they're in darkness. That's why they can go 5 times a day and bow towards me. You know, one of the saddest things I've seen in America today, you know that most hospitals today, if you go to the chapel of most hospitals in the United States of America today, they have a mat with an arrow that points towards Mecca so the Muslims can go in there and pray. And they can go in there and pray and bow their head on that ground and do those things day after day, week after week. How can they do that? They're in darkness. But God has sent a light, and He has sent a vessel to carry that light. Why? To light them that sit in darkness. Oh. Now, I want you to think about that. God has a reason for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Just one other verse. He says in Romans chapter 13, verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of what? Light. We're the light of the world. Now, I want you to think about this. So what God does is He reaches down and He calls a young man to be a missionary. And He puts the light, He got saved, He put the light of Jesus Christ in a vessel. And He said, now, you take the light and go to the foreign field, to the darkness. And let that light shine and people will come to it. But what sustains that light? You can't see it. I love it. I got to thinking about it. You can't see it, but inside this vessel is a supply of oil. That oil comes up through that wick, and it sustains the light. The thing you cannot see is what sustains the light of Jesus Christ in this world. You know what that oil in this lamp is? That's your faith promise. What the people in the foreign country can't see is that supply of oil that keeps coming in that missionary's life, that sustains his home, that sustains his food, that sustains him able to get a building, sustains him able to keep that light shining in the darkness. You know what the sad thing is? Missionaries are coming home today because the fact that churches are dropping support and churches are backing up on support and they're cutting off the oil supply. And the missionaries are not coming home because the vessel's unfit. They're not coming home because the light isn't right. They're coming home because there's not enough oil to sustain the light. Now take your Bibles and go to the book of Exodus. God began to talk about this thing. I like this. Amen. The book of Exodus. This gets good. I'm going down to one verse. When I get to that verse, we'll all go to the altar and get right with God together. Amen. Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. God begins to put this thing in order so we'd understand it. And in Exodus, He's of course given the order of the tabernacle and how He's going to set up the holy of place and the holy of holies. And you know, inside the holy place, there was the table of showbread, there was the altar of incense, and there was the golden candlestick. And he was setting this thing up, and he says in Exodus chapter 25, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, now watch this, that they may bring a what? What is your faith promise? It's an offering. Smile. Amen. And he said, of every man that giveth it willingly, not of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. And he said, every man is willingly with his heart. The reason some of you don't get a faith promise, your heart's not in it. You ever get your heart in it and do it willingly, you'll have more fun and you know what to do with. Now watch this. So what were they going to bring? He said, ye shall take of my offering, and this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and deep and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skin dyed red and badger skin and shittim wood and oil for, well, what? So they were setting up this tabernacle, and he said, I'm going to take an offering to the people, and one of the offerings I'm going to take from the people is for them to bring oil to sustain the light in the tabernacle of God. Hey folks, listen, your offering, your faith promise offering that you give of a willing heart puts the oil in the lamp and keeps it burning, burning, burning. Amen? See, them songs God didn't put in there just for no reason. Amen? I think every missionary ought to carry one of these lamps and just go out there and preach and sing, give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning, burning, burning. Amen? Because the sad thing is the light's going out in countries because not because the vessel's not able, not because the light is not able, it's because the oil has run out. And they were to give that. But now watch, he goes on a little farther in the book of Exodus. And notice what this, it was the substance that sustained it. You go to Exodus chapter 27. I like this, amen. I like the Bible. Exodus 27. Somebody asked me the other day, so where do you find this stuff? I just keep reading and praying. Exodus 27, in verse number 20, he said, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring me pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn sometime." He said, "Preacher, why should I give faith promise month after month, week after week? Because the lamp's got to burn always. Yeah. It doesn't burn for a month and it'll go out and do any good. Right. It's got to burn always." One of the missionaries we work with, Brother Nathan Swatter and his family, they went to Mozambique, Africa about 6 years ago and God opened a door. They're in the capital city of Mozambique, Africa, in the capital city of Maputo. There is 3.1 million people in that city. He is the only independent Baptist preacher now left in that city. There was one other guy there. He had to leave the field because of health reasons. There is one national pastor that had they'd helped get a church started, and he's got terminal cancer and is dying. Here is one light shining in the darkness of Maputo in Mozambique, Africa, 3.1 million people. And he had to come home. Two churches started. Bible Institute going to train nationals. And he had to come home to get more oil. And now the work stays in Africa waiting. For what? For us to give the oil. And broke my heart. You know why he had to come home? The country of Mozambique said, hey, when he got there, visas were $60 a person a year. They raised it last year to $800 a person. He didn't have enough support to absorb $6,000 a year. He did everything he could. He was going over to South Africa every 90 days, getting his passport stamped, come back in. He could stay 90 days. He'd go out for 90 days, come back. The government finally figured out what he was doing. In the last fall, he came in and he said, "Look, this is it. You got 30 days to get out of the country or get a permanent visa." He said, "But I don't have $6,000. So what's he home for? Get some more oil. So the light can burn always. Now watch this. Go a little farther with me. Exodus chapter number 40. So what happens? God, this is the way God works. God's got the light. He gets a vessel. He puts that light in that vessel. And he puts oil in that vessel. And he sends it off to do the work. So you get to Exodus chapter 40. And in verse number 24... he says this. He said, "And he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table of the side of the tabernacle southward, and he lighted the lamps before the Lord as the Lord commanded." You know what God did all those years ago? He took Mark 6, Dad, put the light of Jesus Christ in him, and sent him down to Nigeria and put him in there. And what was our job? Put the oil in the lamp. He took Robert Mickey down to Africa and took the light of Jesus Christ to that dark continent, and he put a light in that place, and it's our job to keep the light there. I mean, listen, you go through the list of the missionaries, you look at those lists of those Filipinos that you support, and God took a light and put it in a vessel and began to light a continent, a nation.
Yeah.
Now go to Proverbs chapter 21. Here's the message. Here's the message, Proverbs chapter 21. Notice what he says. Proverbs chapter 21. You say, preacher, it can't be done. That ain't what God said. Proverbs chapter 21, and in verse number 20, God said, Proverbs 21 and verse 20, God said, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Did you hear what he just said? He said, there's treasure and oil in the house of the wise. Enough to get it done. Enough to sustain this life wherever God sends it. But why are missionaries coming home? Why is the oil supply drying up? Because we're spending it up. We're spending God's oil money on ourselves. On our desires. On what we want. On what we want to do. God said there's enough. Hey, folks, you ever realize what a wonderful God we serve? He said, here's what you do. He said, I'll give it to you. You give it back to me in a smaller portion than I gave you. Amen? To put oil in this lamp. And then because you give back to me what I gave to you, I'm going to bless you again for doing it. Go over to 1 Chronicles. Don't go there, but go read 1 Chronicles chapter 28, 29 tonight. When David stood up and said, I'm getting ready to hand this thing over to Solomon and let him build the temple. And he said, God, you are a good God. Of your own, he said, you have given to us, and of yours we have given back to you. And then you blessed us. Man, you can't get a deal like, you sure can't get a deal like that in Washington, D.C., amen? You ain't going to get a deal like that at the local bank. I mean, you don't walk in and hand them their money and they give you back a little interest on it and then say, well, you know, we really like you. Oh, here's a little more. No, we got to charge you this fee for handling it. We got to charge you that fee for handling it. Amen. You know what God said? God said, you just keep putting oil in the lamp. Give back to me a little bit of what I gave you. Amen. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a blessing for doing it. You know what your problem is with God? Sometimes those blessings aren't material. We're such a materialistic society, and we've listened to the 7-Eleven prosperity gospel preachers on TV so much that, you know, God's going to give you a Cadillac, and God's going to give you a mansion, and God... No, God said, I'm going to bless you for it. You know what he might do? Just might save all your kids. Amen? He just might send one of your kids off to the mission field. Yeah. It's our job to keep the oil in the lamp. And don't spend it up. You know what that means? That doesn't mean you go buy everything you want to buy and pay all your bills and it's okay, now God, here's the tithe. Well, do I have enough money left to put oil in the lamp? No, you don't spend it up. It amazes me. I was in service the other day, and this guy came to me, and he said, Brother Morrison, I need to ask you a question. He said, last year when you were here, and he said, we made our faith promise. He said, I had a little different financial situation, and our financial situation has kind of changed this year. And I said, what changed it? He said, I bought a truck. I said, really? I said, yeah. I said, did you buy a new one? He said, yeah. I said, so you're spending God's oil money to pay for your truck. Amazes me, amen. You go to West Virginia, you preach in churches down there. Well, preacher, I don't know if I can give anything more to missions. I had to buy a new four-wheeler. Well, what was wrong with the other one? Well, it didn't have all-wheel drive. It just had rear-wheel drive. Smile. Down there, it's, yeah, preacher, we had to buy a new deer rifle. Get your deer yet? Boy, got quiet, didn't it? But preacher, you don't understand, the new iPhone 5 came out. I got to have one of them. The new Google phone, the new, I don't care what it is, amen. I'm not against that, okay? I'm not. I got an iPhone. I've got an iPad. You see me carry it up here every night. That's because I can see it better, amen. I've got a laptop computer. I'm not against that, but I haven't spent God's oil money to get it. Can I tell you a little blessing about this iPad right here? This is the new iPad Air. I didn't buy it. I had another older iPad that a preacher gave me the money and helped me buy. And I'm preaching in this church in Springfield, Ohio, right before Christmas, having a wonderful time. Had a service about like we did Monday night. I come across that pulpit, man, just going crazy. Went, I had to tell you something. Right in the corner of that iPad. It went. Next day, the preacher said, did you do what I think you did? I said, I did. I didn't realize it till I got home. Amen. Lord, you know my heart. Man walked up to me the next day. He said, Brother Morrison, what's your home address? I told him. He said, 7 days it'd be in your house. As inscribed on the back, presented to Dr. Robbie Morrison, faithful servant of Jesus Christ. God said, you just give me your oil money and I'll just bless you for doing it. But can I tell you what, folks? Never give me another iPad. In 3 weeks, I'll step to the pulpit of the Rescue Baptist Church in Pilot Mountain, North Carolina, and preach a missions conference for Pastor Tim Morrison. You can't buy that with money. We got quiet. I want to read you something. We'll get the iPad so I can read it. 58 years ago, last month, on December, I guess it was, Jim Elliot died, martyred on the beaches of Ecuador. He wrote this note to his parents. Now listen closely, and I'm about done. He said, I do not wonder that you were saddened by the word of my going to South America. This is nothing else than what the Lord Jesus warned us of when he told the disciples that they must become so infatuated with the kingdom and following him that all other allegiances must become as though they were not. And he never excluded the family tie. In fact, those loves which we regard as closest, he told us we must become as hate in comparison with our desires to uphold his cause. Grieve not, my dear parents, if your sons seem to desert you, but rejoice rather. Now listen, watch. Seeing the will of God done gladly. Remember how the psalmist described children? He said they were as an heritage from the Lord, and that every man should be happy who had his quiver full of them. What is a quiver full of arrows but? And what are the arrows for but to shoot? So with strong arms of prayer, draw back the bowstrings and let the arrows fly, all of them, straight at the enemy's host. Give of thy sons to bear the message glorious. Give of thy wealth to speed them on their way. Pour out thy soul for them in prayer victorious. And all thou spendest, Jesus will repay. It's the last thing he wrote to his parents before he died the martyr's death in Ecuador. You know what he was saying? There's some things more greater than wealth and fame. And Jesus will repay. You got to put the oil in the lamp. One thought for you to think about. I've read and watched that passage many times. about the 10 virgins. It said there were 5 foolish and 5 wise. But what was the difference between the two? The 5 wise had oil in the lamps. The 5 foolish didn't. And when the bridegroom came, the 5 wise went out to meet the bridegroom with lamps, with oil. The 5 foolish went trying to make up for what they should have been doing. That is putting oil in the lamps. Are you a wise man? There's treasure and oil enough. Are you a foolish man that spendeth it up? Come Sunday, you'll fill out your faith promise. How much oil money are you going to give God this year? Maybe the first thing you ought to do is give your life a vessel. Maybe there's some parents here tonight ought to come and say, Lord, here's my children. You said something today, preacher, and I appreciate you, and I'm done. You've had your children here. I love that thought. And you said you didn't understand people that didn't have that. I tell you, a lot of times I'm jealous. When I watch your kids all gather around your table, I think, if I'd have stayed in Gypsy, West Virginia, this may be honey. Then God said to me, but what about the people getting saved in Pilot Mountain, North Carolina? What about the people that have been saved for the last 15 years in Crossville, Tennessee, a youth group that now has 4 preachers and 3 missionaries? Because the influence of a mission, a youth director and his wife, a little girl that belongs to us. What about all those missionaries for the last 5 years depended on a young man to make sure they got the oil they needed? Times we're together, sweet folks. Sit around the table, sit around the living room on Christmas. We testify. You get so sweet in that room, folks. You can't buy that. Amy sat there the first year she was married to Alan, wept and cried. We wept and cried. It's got to the point now, the kids, the grandkids, they said, oh, we're going to do this again. I know it's going to take time. You start talking about the folks that have been saved. Lives that have been changed. You can't buy that with money. But you can get that by putting oil in the lamp. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight. Your blessings on our life. I pray, Father, tonight you'd speak to each and every one of us about our oil supply for God. May you work in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you a question or two tonight. You say, preacher, would you pray for me? I'd give my life a vessel. To be a vessel that God can use to carry the light. Jesus Christ. God spoke to my heart. I need to give my life a vessel. Anybody like that tonight? Said, preacher, that's me. God combined spoke to my heart. God bless your heart, young people. God bless your hearts. God bless your hearts. Said, preacher, would you pray with me? And maybe you ought to come to the altar and pray tonight. I want to make sure that I'm supplying. I want to make sure my oil supply is exactly what God wants it to be this year. Let's stand our feet, Heavenly Father. Move as only you can tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Give me oil in my lamp. That ought to be the missionary song. But who's the oil supply coming from? From all the children of God. Who brings an offering from a heart willingly. You get that faith promise card come Sunday. What will be your oil offering? Maybe you ought to just come give your life a vessel tonight. Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. God's people in an altar tonight. Do you need to come? Come on. Let's carry the light. Let's send the light. Got to sing that song different from now on. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Think about it. I'm putting oil in that lamp to keep it burning, burning, burning.
How many can say amen?